Genesis 3:72 in your hymn book? You glad your sins are gone tonight?
Amen. Will you ask me why I'm happy? So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, why?
Thankful they're gone. Amen. The devil might try to remind you of them, but they're gone tonight.
Amen.
Even God can't remember them anymore. You say, well, I still remember them. That just shows that he's greater than you are. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he has selective memory to where he doesn't see all the filth and all the mistakes and all that. I'm glad once I ask him to forgive me, he says, I don't even remember it anymore.
Amen.
God bless you tonight. Brother Paul Layton had given some bread, some different loaves and things, different types of breads to Brother Layton to give out. I think somebody gave them to him. So we've got that in the basement after service. If you want to get some of those, you're welcome to them. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. I want to remember James Soderquist. He's got strep throat, so I want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Brenda, she's able to be here tonight, so I appreciate that. But she's been having some dizzy spells, so I want to remember her in prayer. And then Sister Angela Layton, she was actually in the hospital till today, late this afternoon with, I think they admitted her yesterday with some chest pain, and they wanted to run some different tests and things, but the stress test and the EKG and everything came back normal. So praise the Lord for that. But just want to continue to remember her in prayer for just a complete recovery. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Let's bow our heads, please. Lovely Lord Jesus, we come before your presence this evening. We know that you're here in this room already because you've made yourself known. And we just worship you, Lord. That's our purpose for coming tonight, was to lift up your name, to exalt you, and to thank you for being the God of all gods. There's none like you, Lord, and we appreciate it. We bring these requests to you now, Lord. They're burdens upon our heart. Heavenly Father, we need your touch. These folks that are written down on this card, they need your touch. They need you to come on the scene in their life. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that answers prayer, that, Lord, you, to even the smallest detail of our life, Lord, you care, and you want to move in our life. Lord, just increase our faith tonight to be able to reach out and accept every promise that's in the book. Every word of the Bible, Lord, may we stand on it, Lord, and just claim it. We thank you for your presence again. We thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come again, Lord, and be able to get our spiritual eyes in focus, Lord, dear Jesus. Pray that you would come in the Word tonight and just correct those things that need to be corrected, lift up those that need to be lifted up. Heal those that need to be healed and fill those that need to be filled, Lord. We give you praise and glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The brothers would come at this time. This song just came to my heart here a minute ago, and it's a song I've heard for years and years and years, but it's true, this old-time religion, it'll take us through. Amen?
Well, it's the old-time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough. Make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. That's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. And it brings things from undercover. Good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Good enough for me. Well, it will take us all.
Somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. It brings things from undercover. Oh, it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, and I will pray. Lord, oh, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now I'm gonna praise.
Tonight, whatever comes, whatever goes, amen. I don't want to just praise him on the good days. I don't want to just praise him on payday or on the day that I start feeling better from my sickness. I want to praise him. Whatever comes, whatever goes, my lips were made to praise him. My hands were made to praise him. My feet were made to praise him. Amen. I want to praise him with all that I am. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's look at St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And I want to begin at verse 27, St. Matthew 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would take complete control of this service. Lord, may it be for your glory. Lord, may the words that I speak, Lord, not just be of my own opinion or an idea, but Father, may you guide the words, Lord. May you, Lord, as we begin to look into the scriptures and quotes, may you help us just to find a balance to what we begin to look at tonight, Lord, and over the next few weeks. Just ask that you would help us, Father. Give us strength and mercy, Lord, and for the journey. Lord, maybe there's questions surrounding some of these topics, Lord, that people have had on their hearts. And I just ask that you would help me, Lord, to be able to find a balance in the scriptures and quotes for what the people would have need of, Lord. And when it comes to these things, just ask you to give wisdom, give strength. Lord, be with each one present, Lord. May we just sit and look at the word, Lord. Maybe different ones have been taught different ways. But Lord, help us to go back to what the word said and just take a look again. We ask these things, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We've been on this topic for quite a while on Speak the Word. And we started looking at Brother Branham's ministry last week. And just felt led over the next few weeks to go a slightly different direction than we've been going with some of the other characters that we looked at, looking more at just literally speaking the word as far as speaking things into existence or miracles taking place. But we find that part of speaking the word is also bringing forth doctrine and bringing a restoration of the complete word. And we believe that that's what a large part of Brother Branham's ministry was. It wasn't just in the healing campaigns and in the miracle and in speaking things into existence, but it was to bring us back to a completely restored word. And so I want to take a handful of topics over the next few weeks and look at some of the things that Brother Branham taught us and take those things back to the scriptures. Maybe people have approached you with questions about some of the doctrines that Brother Branham taught, the coming of the Lord, the resurrection, the serpent's seed, predestination, different topics that we'll look at just however the Lord leads. I know recently we've kind of looked along some things on the Godhead and water baptism and things like that, so we may skip over some of those because we've taught on them recently. But I want to look first tonight at the coming of the Lord. And I know even around the message, some of you may be aware, some of you may not be aware at all, but there's a lot of division over the coming of the Lord. Has it happened? Did it happen? When did it happen? If it happened? And many different things like that. So we want to go back to the scriptures and the quotes and look at some of things, these things tonight. Some of you may have been taught different ways even sitting here tonight. And I just want to go back and look at the word, not my opinion or my ideas, but we want to just look at what the word teaches us. And if you disagree, that's all right. Amen. If that's the first thing you've disagreed with so far, then you'll be doing all right. But you just give me some grace tonight as we begin to look at these things. Now, we want to look at this quote from Convinced and Then Concerned in 1962. Brother Branham says, notice, there's a great big difference in the sign of Jesus appearing and then Jesus coming. There's two different words, means two different things, the appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. Now, the appearing of the Lord is now when he's appearing in his people, his spirit working among them, proving that it's him with them, getting them ready for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord to catch away the bride's see, the appearing and the coming. Now, we know there's many different times throughout the Bible. You know, if we begin to look at all the different times that he appeared, we'd have a whole lot of different comings, because he appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek. He appeared to Moses, looked like the backside of the man. He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. He appeared to them at the grave, and then he appeared to those on the road to Emmaus in a different form. He appeared on the river in 1933. He appeared as a cloud in 1963, and he appears in many different ways, God unveiling himself and changing his mass down through history. And so we can't just say that every one of those is a coming, or we'd have about 47 different comings of the Lord. We know that the scriptures in the Bible doesn't teach that. So Brother Branham is trying to show us that there's a difference between an appearing and a coming. Now, St. Paul picks it up in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1, and he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So he's coming as a thief in the night. We've established that, okay? This is what St. Paul taught. I don't believe St. Paul was a liar. He said that his coming is going to be as a thief in the night. Now over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." St. Peter says in 2 Peter verse 3 and 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." St. Matthew chapter 24 verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now, well, I want to pause there. We've got some of the scriptures we want to look at. But so far, we have him coming as the light that shines from the east to the west. We have him coming as a thief in the night. Then we have him coming in as a thief in the night, but yet the earth and the heavens is going to be burned away. Then we have him coming in the clouds, the Son of Man in glory. We have him coming again as a thief in the night, but then every eye shall see him. How is this all going to be? How can he come all these different times in all these different ways? And all these, how can he come as a thief in the night and every eye see him? More than one coming, more than one appearing, but there's only three comings that take place. Brother Branham says that he came in three sons' names. He came in as Son of Man to redeem his bride. He comes as Son of God to get his bride. And then he comes as Son of David with his bride. So that's three comings. We can't have any more than that we fit in and say, well, I believe he came over here and I believe he came over there and all these different scriptures, the coming of this and the coming of that. And you have to be careful, because if you're not, you'll have a lot of comings and not very many appearings, when it's actually the opposite. He appears many times. The sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds, I believe we've already seen that with all my heart. We showed you the picture the other night when he came in the clouds over Arizona in 1963, and he appeared to us. He appeared as the sign of the Son of Man. Now, he's coming as a thief in the night and nobody will know it, but yet it said the Son of Man, his coming will be as a light that shines from the east and goes to the west. But he's not promised to come and catch his bride away as Son of Man. He's promised to come as Son of God. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. But yet, as Son of Man, he revealed himself to the Jews and to the Samaritans back there in Palestine, but he never revealed himself to a Gentile. So for God to be just to our age, he had to come as Son of Man again in this age. Not the literal physical body, not a physical coming of Christ, but he had to reveal himself or display himself as Son of Man in this generation, or we didn't get the same treatment that they got when he was here in a physical body. And the sign of the Son of Man would be his coming would be as from the east to the west. How did Brother Branham's ministry travel? He started in the east and he wound up in the west. And even that fortune teller told him, said, "You'll never be successful in the east. Your ministry's got to come west." Something in him all of his life pulling him, go west, go west, go west. And but his mother was back here and he had that natural tie. He wanted to stay till his mother passed. And then when his mother passes, then his wife says, "But my mother's here." And so he's waiting on his mother-in-law. And he said, "Lord, if you'll just wait till she passes." And as soon as she passed away, God gives him a vision of a stake being drove down. And he said, "Once you see that happen in your yard, you'll know it's time to move west." And he said he saw a vision of his family in a prairie schooner. And he said he took the reins and he hit them and they took off towards the west. And there he gets into a station wagon with his family and travels to the west. What was it? The sign of the Son of Man shining as it would be from the east to the west. Now, we used to listen to a Pentecostal singer. He had a lot of anointed songs, and he was a Pentecostal preacher. I've still got some of his tapes by the name of R.A. West, and he knew a little bit about Brother Branham's ministry, even though he denied it. Brother Donnie Reagan used to travel with him, and he said the first time he ever saw a message book was on that man's shelf, and he reached down and began to look through a message book there, and he read about how that God, when he came to a manger there, that it was more than a man. He was more than a man when he walked the seas of Galilee, and he began to recognize where R.A. West was getting some of the lyrics to his songs right out of the message. He sang a song called The Eagle Kind that I'm going to have to teach the musicians, and we'll sing it here before long. And if it's not a song to the bride of Jesus Christ, I don't know what it is. The Pentecostal people, they shouted and ran when he sang it, but they didn't have a bit more idea what he was talking about than anything. But he was getting inspiration from the message. But he sang a song that went something like this. He said, the master said he would come as a thief comes in the night. As the lightning shines east to west, he said he would come. But then he gets to the chorus, and it says, the newspaper headlines read, Jesus Christ has come again. The radio stations everywhere blared out the news. One television newsman said, folks are raising from the dead. But where in the world are the people going to? Now, it's a sweet song, and it's pretty, and it's catchy, but it's not scriptural. Oh my, because when people's coming out of the graves being raised, there ain't going to be nobody knows about it but the bride. And they'll keep continuing right on, even message churches. They'll keep continuing right on thinking that they're getting people saved, thinking that they're getting people to the baptism of the Holy Ghost when grace has been taken off of the earth because the bride has been taken off the earth. It won't be on your news stations. The Pope won't know about it. The President won't know about it. But there'll be a group of people that recognizes a resurrected body of Christ coming forth, not just with nail prints and nail scars, but they'll see grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and different ones, and they'll recognize there's a resurrected body coming forth. Amen. There'll be a group that recognizes it, but the vast majority will never recognize it. So Jesus is telling us about these different comings, about these different appearings, but you can't make the scriptures all tie together if we just say, well, it's just this one coming over here that all these scriptures is going to fulfill. How could he come as a thief in the night and then every eye behold him? How could he come as a thief in the night and every tongue confess and every knee bow? Talking about two different comings. St. Luke chapter 12, verse 39, and this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, they didn't do this when he came as Son of Man back in Palestine. Every knee didn't bow, every tongue didn't confess. They won't do it when he comes as Son of God to take away his bride, because it'll be a sudden, secret catching away. It'll be something when he comes as a thief in the night. But when he comes as Son of David in the millennium, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So we have to know what coming is he speaking of. Revelations chapter 19, 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now here he is, he comes riding on a white horse with his bride following him on a white horse. But you know, this isn't promised of his second coming. This wasn't promised of his first coming. This is when he comes back to fight against those that are attacking Jerusalem. Brother Bram said in one place, he said this word horses, he says it means powers. its powers. Any beast, he said, is a power. And so they're coming forth riding in power. And here he comes. So which is it? Is he coming on a cloud? Is he coming on a white horse? Is he coming as a thief in the night? Or is he coming to where every eye shall see and every tongue shall confess? You've got to watch which coming that you're speaking of, or you'll get confused, or somebody will confuse you. Again, from that time, 1962, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? See, it's two different words. Now, the appearing, now's the appearing, the coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us, doing the works that he did once in his church. Now, he picks this up again, and it is I Be Not Afraid, 1962. He says, you know, there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different words altogether. He's appearing now in his church. We see him. We know it's him. It's the Holy Spirit, see. We know it is. How is he appearing now? As the Holy Spirit amongst his bride. How is he present now in body form? In bride form. He's appearing to us right now. But yet, don't separate an appearing and a coming. Now, some say that Jesus, when he said, we'll look at it in just a few minutes there in the book of Acts, when he ascended up and the angel said, this same Jesus that you saw ascending, you'll see him come in a like manner. You'll see him come again. They say that, well, 10 days later on the day of Pentecost that he came in spirit form. That's right. He did come in spirit form, but we're promised a physical appearing. Not just a spiritual appearing, but a physical appearing. He said, right now he's with us. In the form of the Holy Spirit. He's appearing right now to his people. He's appearing right now to his church in the form of the Holy Spirit. We can see him working. We can see what he's doing when we see people being healed, as we just heard some of the testimonies, a little boy being healed of Tourette's, a brother being healed of hepatitis B, a sister being healed of leukemia. I can't do that. I can't produce that. Brother Hoover, Brother Layton, or Brother Arnie, as much as I appreciate their prayers and their faith, they cannot produce that. It takes God Almighty in the form of the Holy Spirit to come and appear to his people and perform things like that amongst us. It's him appearing right now in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, some say that, well, he came back 10 days later in the form of the Holy Spirit. That was his second coming. Others say, no, it wasn't then. But in 1963, when the cloud came down and Brother Branham was caught up into the constellation and the seals were revealed, that was the coming of the Lord back in 1963. Well, Brother Branham says in the seals there, he said that when he comes the second time, that the blood is taken off of the mercy seat. So I sure hope he didn't come on the day of Pentecost or in 1963, or most of us sitting here didn't have a chance. I asked a brother that teaches us this way. I said, well, what do you do about that when the blood being taken off the mercy seat when he comes the second time? What do you do about that if you're teaching it that way and yet the blood's taken off the mercy seat in 1963 as this man was teaching it? I said, what do you do? He said, well, I don't have the answer for everything. I thought, well, I guess you don't. He's appearing now in his church. We see him. We know it's him. It's the Holy Spirit. See, we know it's the Holy Spirit. The unveiling of God, 1964. He said, how many sees him standing? The mighty conqueror, the word made flesh, unveiled before us, the Alpha, the Omega. He was that which is and shall come, the root of and offspring of David, was the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, and will be Son of David. You believe it with all your heart. Notice most of the time he quotes this Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. But in this specific quote and unveiling of God, he said, was the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, and will be Son of David. You say, well, how can that be? Is he adding a fourth coming in there? No, there can't be four comings, but he's recognizing the appearing that was happening right then before the people. You say, oh, he came as Son of Man in 1963. Well, I don't want to argue with you, but he was appearing as Son of Man in the late 50s through a prophet of God. Go back and listen to some of those tapes in the late 50s. You'll hear him telling the story of the sign of the Son of Man, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62. He'll tell the story of how that it was promised Son of Man back there to those people, and they saw it, Gentile, or Samaritan and Jew rather, but that the Gentiles hadn't seen it. You'll hear him turn his back and call people out. I just heard him on a tape from 1958 the other day. He's in a prayer line, and he said, you need to stop that out there. He said, you're thinking that it's mind reading, but he said, here, I won't even look at the lady. Right. Said, tell me if that's mind reading or not. What was it? The sign of the Son of Man, a Son of Man ministry being revealed in this way. That didn't make Brother Branham the Son of Man. That's where many of them confused it. We just looked at the quote last, I believe it was last Wednesday, how he said, I'm not the Son of Man. Amen. I know there's many that believe that. Many pray in his name and do all kinds of things, baptize in his name or whatever. That just, but Brother Branham said, he said, if you say that I'm wrong, then I know that you're wrong. So I'll take his word for it. If he said he wasn't the Son of Man, then I don't care what anybody else says. He wasn't the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Amen. There's a big difference between a Son of Man and the Son of Man. You know, it's okay. You could say that I'm a Messiah. Brother Branham said I was. Brother Branham said he was. He said we're Messiahettes, little Messiahs, because Messiah or Christ, you could even call me a Christ because Christ means anointed one. But to get up and say that I was the Christ or the Messiah, that would be Antichrist. To get up and to say that Brother Branham was the Christ or to say that he was the anointed one or to say that he was the Son of Man, absolutely Antichrist. But he was a Son of Man. He was a anointed prophet. He was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. He said, do you believe it with all your heart? Ministry explained 1950. Is it okay if I read one way back in 1950? He says, I believe in the literal physical coming of Jesus the second time. He says in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, and they're speaking of him going away. He says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Read those three words with me together. This same Jesus. Not a prophet with the sign of Son of Man. Not an anointed Messiah representing the Messiah. But this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Perseverance, 1962. He says, well, there's many of the Protestants across the country don't believe in the physical resurrection. We'll look at that next week with the help of the Lord. Hundreds of churches don't believe in that, the physical return or anything. See, I believe in the literal birth, death, burial, resurrection, second coming, all Christ Jesus. Yes, sir. I believe that he's fully Christ. The same Jesus taken up, the same Jesus will return. And I believe in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's here now. See, that's where the Perugia people got mixed up. They said his presence, Perugia, he's here. So if he's here now, we don't need to do any, we don't need to have revivals. We don't need to have any altar calls. We don't need to do nothing because his presence is here and he's already come. He was here. He did appear as Holy Ghost, as Holy Spirit, anointing men. He appeared in bride form. He appeared in prophet form as the sign of the Son of Man through a Son of Man. He's here, the Spirit, in spirit form. But he said, I believe that the same Jesus will return, the same Jesus taken up. He's here now in spirit form, but I believe the same Jesus taken up, the same will return. Seed of discrepancy, 1965. When a man stands and says he's a gospel preacher and says that the days of miracles is past, that's the seed of discrepancy. When a man stands and says that he's a minister, a pastor of a church somewhere, and he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the same in every detail except the physical body. Same yesterday, today, and forever. That's seed of discrepancy. If they come and say, well, he's the same except he doesn't do miracles anymore. He's the same except he doesn't use people anymore. He's the same except he doesn't do signs and wonders anymore. He's the same except he doesn't use the ministry anymore. He's the same except he doesn't really work through the bride in this age. He's the same except this. No, if he's not the same in every detail but the physical body, he said that's the seed of discrepancy. He's the same in every detail tonight. Not just back in 1965 when he said this. Not just back on the shores of Galilee when he walked here in a flesh body. He's the same tonight the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in power. He's the same in deity. He's the same in action. He's the same in works. He's the same in miracles. He's the same in all whatever you have need of tonight. He's the same in salvation. He's the same in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's the same in every way tonight that he was in the Sea of Galilee. He's the same in every way tonight as he was when he stood and he worked through the office of a prophet, revealing himself as Son of Man through that Son of Man. He's the same in every way except the physical body. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is still present right here in our midst. His Holy Spirit is still anointing men and women. His Holy Spirit is still doing the same acts. His Holy Spirit is still present tense among us to work and do whatever we have need of, from the least to the greatest, beyond whatever our expectations would be. He's still Holy Spirit here tonight, but not the physical body. Now, he's here in physical bodies. He's here in bride form, but that's not the physical body that they saw ascend into heaven, that he said, this same Jesus. Not a substitute, not a prophet, not a member of the bride, not anything else. This same Jesus is going to come right back. He said he's the same in every detail except the physical body. Acts chapter 9 verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now here he's seeing Jesus, but Jesus is not in the flesh body that he left in. The physical body isn't the same. He's still the same Jesus in every aspect. He's still speaking. He's still, but he's gone to pillar of form fire. He's gone to pillar of form, pillar of fire form. Thank you, Brother Layton. He's gone to pillar of fire form. And he's speaking to Paul through this pillar of fire, just as he could speak to Brother Branham, just as he could appear and have his photograph taken, just as he could appear with Moses. He went from pillar of fire to a flesh body that he created, a temple that he could dwell in. And then Brother Branham said, that body sitting on the right hand of God. Now we know we're not Trinitarians. We don't believe that God's in a body up there with a big right hand sitting on a throne. There's a little bitty Jesus sitting in the right palm of his hand. That, if you still believe that, you're still back with the Baptists or the Trinitarians or the Catholics or somebody. But what is it? Brother Branham said that right hand was his power. He's sitting in the power. He has all power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, he said when he came back out of the grave. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And there he sits at the right hand of the majesty of God, but he's not going to appear down here in any form but bride form or pillar of fire form. Until he comes back, that same Jesus in a physical form. Now he speaks to Paul and he says, who are you, Lord? Now it wasn't Jesus standing there with nail scars and nail prints saying, look, here I am, Paul. Don't you recognize me? Thomas recognized me. Don't you recognize me? He wasn't in that form anymore. He's gone back to pillar of fire and he recognizes him as Lord. He said, who are you, Lord? He knew something supernatural was taking place, that this light that most of the men standing there didn't even see was so real to this man that it blinded his eyes for a season. And the effects of this blindness even went way on into his ministry, and until he died, as far as we know, his eyes would have all kinds of problems and things. And he prayed three times and God told him, said, my grace is sufficient. But this was such a real experience to him. There's no way that Pharisee, that Jew that had been taught at the feet of Gamaliel, would call anything Lord unless he was sure that it was Lord. But he recognized, this is the same one that spoke to Moses. And he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus who you persecuted. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, if he had come in the way that they say he came on the day of Pentecost, and he had already returned, and it was the same Jesus that ascended up, if that same Jesus came back, why would the first church age messenger that stood there and saw him in this form, in Holy Spirit form, he saw him in bride form, he saw him in pillar of fire form, how could this same prophet, if what different ones, the Perugia group and different ones, if what they believe is true, that he came back on the day of Pentecost, how could he stand there and tell the people about the Lord coming? How could Peter come and say, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night? How could Paul say that, you know, that we would have a body like his own glorious body? We would see him as he is. Why would he tell the people all these things, all these false promises, if he had already came in the way that the angels had told them he's coming back in the same way? Right. Mighty God Unveiled, 1964. Then we find, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he came on the day of Pentecost as Son of God. Now, if we stop right there, you'll get confused. Because he said that second coming, he's coming as Son of Man to what? To redeem his bride. He's coming as Son of God to get his bride. And he's coming as Son of David with his bride. He tells us right here, 1964, after the seals, he came on the day of Pentecost as Son of God. Now, many of them will stop right there and tell you that that's what he did. But read the next verse, the next sentence. Thank you again, Brother Layton. God, the Spirit, in the form of the Holy Ghost. What was he doing? He was changing himself, making himself known to his people in a different form. Not this same Jesus that you saw ascending, coming, that same Jesus again in physical form, but God, the Spirit, in the form of the Holy Ghost. God in spirit form came again on the day of Pentecost. He goes on to say, like the Holy Spirit, which is God, he came to deal through the church ages as Son of God, the Holy Spirit. Now he tells us in the church age book, page 154, he says, there aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. He's saying this because the Pentecostal people were saying you had to get the new birth and then you had to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they were holding a carrot out on the stick that, you know, once you get this, you got to get this still. He said, there's not two comings of the Spirit. It's the same one. If you got the new birth, that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the new birth. It's not two separate comings. He said, there's not two comings of the Spirit, just one. But we're not looking to just a spiritual coming. We're looking for a physical coming. He said, I believe in the physical resurrection and the physical coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not two comings of the Spirit, just one, but we're looking for a physical coming. Invisible Union, 1965. Can't you see where we're standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went in the ground. The same Jesus in the bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word. He's here in bride form, but that's not the same Jesus that ascended. If that's the case, then he was already right there amongst the believers there on the day of Pentecost in bride form. There he was again as the Holy Spirit in Holy Spirit form. There's not two comings of the Spirit. There he was again as Son of God through the Spirit, a spiritual coming. Here he is in spirit form on the people. He came that way. He appeared that way on the day of Pentecost, but that wasn't a physical coming of Christ, not his physical body. Serpent Sea, 1958, we believe in feet washing. We believe in communion. We believe in the second coming of Christ, the visible, corporal body of the Lord. Not spirit, but the corporal body of the Lord Jesus coming again in glory. You say, well, that was way back in 1958. All right, let me read you a few more. Resurrection of Lazarus, 1953. This one's even further back. I believe in the physical body return of Jesus Christ. A trumpet gives an uncertain sound, 1963. Some of them don't believe in his literal coming. Some of them around the message still don't. The Bible said he will come, so we are looking for his coming. 1964, the Feast of the Trumpets, he said the seventh seal hasn't opened yet, you know. That's his coming. Now, many of them stop there and they say, well, the seventh seal has been opened. Well, let's go over to The Seed Is Not Ever at the Shuck, 1965. God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised other things in the days of others. But now he promised us a full square meal, the full seven-course menu, for all the seven seals are open and everything is ready for the word of God to those who can receive. So how do you explain that, Brother Nathan? 1964, Feast of the Trumpets, he says they're not open. 1965, Seat of the Air at the Shuck, he says they are open. Well, it depends on what you mean by opened. In 1963, he came and he preached the seals, and he opened every single one of them, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh seal. All of them were opened. But that seventh seal, when it came forth, there was a portion of it that was in an unknown tongue that Brother Branham said he himself didn't know. In fact, if you study the scripture, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he said that even he didn't know. He said, I don't know the day nor the hour. He said, that's not revealed to the Son of Man. But he said, but the Father knows. Here he stands in a flesh body. He doesn't know. Here Brother Branham stands and the seals are open, but yet there's a part of it that's in an unknown tongue. And he says in Feast of the Trumpets, as we just read it, he said, that's his coming. That's his coming. That couldn't be fully revealed right then, or we would have all been said, well, you know, I'm not going to put a date on it, but you just put an imaginary date in your mind, whatever you think it's going to be in the future. And we would have said, well, we got till then to make ready, so we'll just sit back and relax and dog eat dog, and we'll just do whatever we want till the coming of the Lord. Hey, the Lord could come for you tomorrow. The Lord could come for you before you pull out of this driveway tonight. Amen. There's a coming of the Lord, and there's an appearing of the Lord, but he might come and get you and take you out of this life before you get home tonight. I'm not going to wait on some certain date. There's people that predict dates all the time, and whenever they do, I just have to kind of chuckle, because the Bible said no man will know the day nor the hour. And then when they're wrong and they cross it off their calendar and they get all, you know, discouraged and everything, you never see those people come around and apologize, say, hey, I'd like to get up and make a public testimony. I told people from your church that, you know, God was coming on this certain date and didn't happen. I'd like to get up and repent and get that lying spirit off of me. You'll never see them do it. But what do? They find a new date and somebody new to follow. Well, that guy was wrong, but this guy was right. I'm not looking for nobody new to follow.
Amen.
That's his coming. Now, if he came on Mount Sunset in 1963, or if he came on the day of Pentecost in about AD 33, why would this be something that was hid up and sealed? And why would the seventh church age messenger still be looking for it to happen if it had already happened? If this seventh seal was the sign of his coming, but it's in the rearview mirror now in 1964 and 1965, why would he be so disingenuous to us not to just go ahead and say, you know, well, really, this is what it was? What is the attraction on the mountain 1965? Let me do this one first, I'm sorry. Man running from the presence of the Lord, 1965. There's not a hope left in the world but the coming of the Lord, 1965. Anointed ones at the end time, 1965. I have sought the Lord thinking, what could I say, knowing that this may be our last service we ever have. The coming of the Lord is so close at hand. What is the attraction on the mountain? 1965. Now remember, this whole sermon, what is the attraction on the mountain? You go back and you read it. This whole sermon is about what happened on Mount Sunset. This whole sermon was about angels coming in a cloud. What is it? What is the attraction on the mountain? God revealing himself to his people. God revealing himself to his bride. God revealing the word. The whole sermon is about what happened on Mount Sunset in 1963. We send greetings up in the mountains, Prescott, Arizona, to Brother Leo Mercer and his group that's up there waiting for the coming of the Lord. Poor Leo and Jean up there still waiting for the coming of the Lord in 1965, and here he's about to tell them what happened on Mount Sunset. I'm being facetious. We send greetings to those in Tucson that's gathered tonight waiting on the coming of the Lord. Down into Houston, Texas, to those who are waiting on the coming of the Lord. Up in Chicago, to those who are waiting on the coming of the Lord. Up on the East Coast, New York and Connecticut, and the great groups up there that's waiting for the coming of the Lord. We don't have room here to set them, so we just have to send the word through the medium of telephone. We send greetings to Brother Junior Jackson tonight and his group down in Clarksville, Brother Ruddle up on 62 and his group waiting for the coming of the Lord. And we're gathered here tonight at the home church, the Tabernacle, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Here he is in 1965 at the Tabernacle, his own church. He said, if I'm going to preach doctrine, I'm going to preach it here. He's going to reveal to them what happened on Mount Sunset. What was the attraction, Brother Branham? And you mean he's still waiting on the coming of the Lord? 1965, gathered here tonight. If you go back and count those, he greets several groups before where I started. And then when he greets Brother Jackson's group, he doesn't say waiting on the coming of the Lord. He kind of groups them in at Brother Ruddle's group there and waiting on the coming of the Lord on Highway 62. And he goes down every one of them. You count it seven times, seven groups of people. He says waiting on the coming of the Lord. You know what? There were seven groups that was waiting. They started way back in the first church age, and then that second age was waiting. The third church age was waiting. The fourth church age was waiting. The fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and it comes right on down, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Why would they wait? Why would all seven of those groups wait if he came way back there on the day of Pentecost? Why were they waiting? Why would God blind the eyes of even a seventh church age messenger and every messenger down through and say, I really pulled it over on them. I came back on the day of Pentecost, so they don't see it. A lot of message preachers think that they've gone a little higher than the prophet, but I'll take what he said. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. When the coming of the Lord is drawing so nigh, we want to be ready for that great hour. Satan's Eden, 1965. May we live till the coming of the Lord, if it be possible. Invisible Union, 1965. Now we're looking forward for the coming of the Lord in our generation. In 1965, I'm not looking for revival in our generation, he says. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord in our generation. Here he is still looking. Now, you can try to convince me all you want that he didn't know something that you know, but you're never going to convince me of that. Here seven angels came and revealed themselves to him, and all this took place, and he breaks loose the seals and the thunders, and he breaks loose the trumpets, and he breaks loose the mystery of the seven church ages on down through serpent seed, Godhead, deity, water baptism, predestination, all these things, and God hides him and all. I'm not going to show him that it happened back on Pentecost, or that it happened up there on Sunset. I figure if anybody knows what happened on Mount Sunset, this man would know. Since he was the one that was caught up. I figure he would know. He says, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord in our generation, 1965. The rapture, 1965. Now, I thank the brother here and his wife in this chapter for this opportunity. And may this chapter grow. May the blessings of God rest upon it and be an instrument in God's hands to save hundreds and hundreds of people before the coming of the Lord. Now, how can they save anybody else if he came in 63? I asked one brother, you know, that believed Perugia. He said, you know, nobody can get in after 63 because the Lord came in 1963. I said, well, what do you do about your children then? Of course, he had an excuse that, well, he was a child of God. So since they were an offspring of him, then they were okay. Well, you know, you can't have it both ways. Just to, you know, you can't say, well, it's this way for everybody else, but not for my family. And, you know, that's picking and choosing what you want. Many people, you know, they have all these inconsistencies that, well, it's this way for our group, but for everybody else it's that way. It's the same way. It doesn't matter who it is, what their last name is, how big their bank account is. It's the same word of God for everybody else. Moses stood there and God went out searching to kill the man. Here he was, a prophet of God, a vindicated prophet of God. But here he goes out on a mission and he gets so excited about what God has sent him to do that his own wife comes in and says, you're a bloody husband to me. And God's trying to find him in the end to kill him because he tried to go out without having the very thing over his own family that was supposed to be on all the Jews. Here he goes out in his own family, not circumcised. So don't tell me it's okay for somebody to do it and this group to do it, not that group. No, this whole thing applies for everybody else. You had to get the new birth just the same as me, just the same as Brother Hoover, everybody else. God don't have grandchildren or great-grandchildren or anything else. It's all the word of God, and it applies to Brother Jimmy just the same as it applies to Brother Nathan. Save hundreds and hundreds of people before the coming of the Lord. Now, you look at all these scriptures. As the lightning shines from the east to west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Here he was as Son of Man saying this, but he's speaking of a future event. You'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, speaking of a future event, Son of Man ministry. But yet, we're looking for three physical comings, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. He says that he'll come as a thief in the night, but then he says that every eye shall see him, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. He says that he'll come riding on a white horse. So if you're not careful, there's no way you can make all of these fit together, because some of these are appearings, some of them are comings, and some of them are different comings. Here he came as Son of Man in a flesh body in Bethlehem to get or to redeem his bride. He had to come in that form to save his bride, to redeem her back and to call her out. Then he comes again to get his bride. You say, oh, that was the message going forth to gather her up. Well, I don't know about you, but that wasn't the physical coming of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said he's the same in every aspect, but except the physical body. So that wasn't the physical body on Sunset Mountain or even down there on the day of Pentecost. It was a spiritual appearing of God coming to his church as spirit form, as the Holy Ghost coming back to his people, but looking for a physical coming. Here Brother Branham is in 1965, still looking for a physical return of Jesus Christ. Things that are to be 1965. But I'm very thankful for these open doors that I've had to go into. And the inspiration it's given to young men like your pastor here that's caused them, as I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered, and know now that these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. If he doesn't come in my generation. That's just plain to me. People overcomplicate it and try to make it. It's plain to me. There's brothers, younger brothers, that are going to take the message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. Something that he's looking for out there in the future somewhere. The seventh church age messenger. What are you looking for, Brother Nathan? Are you looking for him to come in the skies and him be up there in the clouds and come and show us, look, here's my nail prints and my nail scars? What are you looking for? I'm not looking for him to come in the clouds. He already appeared in the clouds. I have the picture of it to prove it. I'm not looking for him to come as the lightning comes from the east to west. He already appeared in that manner through the Son of Man ministry. You go back and you listen and you see how he phrased it. He didn't say the Son of God would come as the lightning signs from the east to the west. That's the coming we're looking for, right? The second coming as Son of God to get his bride. He didn't say the Son of God would come as the lightning shines from the east to the west. Said as the Son of Man would come as the lightning shines from the east to the west. As we said before, that's exactly what he did. The Spirit anointing a prophet of God in this age, not a physical coming of Christ, the same in every aspect except the physical body. He came and his ministry started in the east and shone all the way to the west. He appeared in the clouds, the appearing of the Son of Man in the clouds. Already happened, not looking for it. But that wasn't a physical coming. So now what are we looking for? I'm looking for this guy right here to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You mean you don't think you're going to float off in the clouds and meet Jesus up there somewhere? No, we're not promised that. But I thought he was coming in the clouds. He did appear in the clouds. Life magazine showed us all about him appearing in the clouds. I'm not floating off somewhere. Brother Branham said it's the same. When he was gone beyond the curtain of time, he didn't float off to the clouds somewhere. He said it was right here, but just a dimension faster. I'm not one. You say, oh, you know, I'm going to go off and live in the clouds somewhere. You can have it. My Bible said the meek will inherit the earth. I plan on staying right here. And my footsteps are possession. I'm going around claiming me some places, Brother Yarborough. Brother Branham said he was going to spend the millennium up in British Columbia there in Banff and Alberta. So I hope he lets me join him for a little bit. Amen. If not, we'll have all eternity. He promised us 1,000 years each with him. So I'll get my 1,000 years. You wait in line and get yours after me. What is it? In a moment. This is what we're promised in the Bible. We'll look at it next week. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this guy, this old rotten flesh that weighs me down, that gets tired, that gets upset, that gets frustrated, that gets sick, that gets white hairs that my wife keeps pointing out to me, all these things, it's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then what? And then I'll have a body like his own glorious body, And then what? I'll see him as he is. Not a pillar of fire. I'll have a body like his own glorious body. So if I'm not a pillar of fire floating around somewhere, like Brother Bram said, a cloud floating around, and couldn't shake Brother Neville's hand like he thought it was back in the Hebrews series. But then in 1961, he goes beyond the curtain of time. He said, there they were. I could shake their hands. I could greet them. They came running, my precious brother. He said, we'll have a body. We'll eat. We'll live. We'll enjoy. We'll build. We'll do these things. It'll just be eternal. Get to spend with our loved ones. I'll have a body like his own glorious body. And then I'll see him as he is. Not some other Jesus. Not the sign of the Son of Man, not a prophet, not a pillar of fire. I'll see him as he is. That's what I'm looking for. A physical body of Jesus Christ, not just in bride form, not just in pillar of fire form, not just in spirit form, like on the day of Pentecost, a physical body. I want to go lay at his feet for 1,000 years. That's how we're promised him to come again. We get it all confused and we say, oh, well, I don't believe Jesus is going to come floating on the clouds and everybody see him. No, you're getting your comings mixed up. You're getting your appearings and your comings mixed up. I'm not looking for him floating off in the clouds somewhere either. I'm not looking for him to come and shine from the east to the west. I believe a prophet of God already did that, the sign of the Son of Man coming. But yet it wasn't the physical appearing of Jesus Christ. He said the same in every way except the physical body. But yet something's got to take place to where this mortal will put on immortality. Amen. To where we'll see him as he is. A physical appearing of a physical Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Brother Branham taught us from 47 to 65. And you can try to interpret it and bend it and twist it and look at it and study it and all these different things. But you'll be denying what he just said over and over and over in 65. Waiting for the coming of the Lord. Waiting for a physical, corporal body of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're so shallow. You're so behind. Well, if that's shallow, then just let me stay there. I don't have to worry about drowning where you're at way out there in the deep waters. Jehovah Jireh, 1964. And here the other day on estimation showed that 99% of the Protestant preachers throughout the nation don't believe in the literal second coming of Christ. 87% deny the virgin birth. Think of that. What are you children going to face out yonder? God, let us get back to the faith again that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Amen. That's what I want tonight, Brother Jimmy. I don't want Brother Nathan's opinion. As much as I love him, I don't want Brother Layton's opinion or Brother Hoover's opinion. Opinions are nice, but hey, if I'm going to take anybody's opinion, I'll take mine. But I don't want to go off of opinions. God, get us back to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. God, get us back. He gave us his word in its purity, and then denominations confused it and watered it down for generation after generation. And then a prophet of God in this age came and restored us back to the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. I don't want to get away from it. I don't want to get confused off in some man's idea or some man's doctrine or some man's opinion. I want to stay with the word. Nothing but the word. I want to stay with it in its purity. Amen. Coming on a horse, coming on a cloud, coming as the light shining from these, coming as a thief, all these different things. He will come as a thief and will be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. And people look around and say, where was all those people down at Church of the Open Door? You know, I always thought they were a cult. Some of them must have ran off and, you know, they went off somewhere and got killed or moved somewhere or whatever. I don't know, a bunch of crazy people. Maybe some of them got kidnapped by ISIS. I don't know what happened to them. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Amen. Coming as a thief in the night. But yet there will be a day when he comes as Son of David, and every eye shall see him, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. But many times denominational teaching has got us all confused on comings and appearings and what's when and what's there and how's this going to be, how's he going to be a thief, and how's he going to come and everybody see him at the same time he's a thief. You're getting your wires crossed. Amen. But if we just take what he said and apply it in the way that he said it, it's just as plain as A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I can explain it to my 10-year-old boy here, and he'll be able to tell you, look, it's just this. It's just simple. But what happens is man's opinions and ideas get in, and they say, well, did you see the way he worded this over here, though? And did you see the way that he said this over here? And did you see this group over there and this group over there? All I can say is 1965 in Jeffersonville, to the group that he said he was going to preach doctrine to, there he is preaching about what happened on Mount Sunset. He had the opportunity to tell them and just open up our eyes for everybody to see. And he said, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. So people can make fun if they want. I believe he has appeared and he's still appearing. He's appeared as pillar of fire. He's appeared as Holy Spirit. He's appeared as the sign of the Son of Man through a prophet's ministry. He's appearing here night after night, service after service, vindicating not Nathan Bryant's ministry, but vindicating that Malachi 4's ministry is still in effect today. And we're benefactors of that message. And we're still seeing signs and wonders and healings and miracles and fillings and salvation. Why? Because he's still here in spirit form, anointing. But I don't want to just know him in spirit form. I want to know him one day, stand there and see him. Say, oh, thank you for what you did for me that day on Calvary. As we sang Sunday morning, I was so unworthy of your mercy. But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you think you're going to see him in a physical body? Yeah, I do. My Bible promised me, the message promised me. You say, oh, it's not going to happen. Well, it may not happen for you. I don't know, but it's going to happen for me. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, if I confused you tonight, or if I made you mad, or if I made you glad, write me and tell me about it. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have, any concerns, if it was confusing at all. I'd appreciate any attaboys that you want to give me, anything you want to say. I appreciate it. Tonight, I can't preach what some other man preaches just because they preach it. You're fine, Brother Furman. I can't preach it just because somebody else sees it. I have to preach what I see. To do anything else, I would be a hypocrite. You say, oh, but Brother so-and-so over here, he teaches it this way and he teaches it that way. That's all right. That brother will be held accountable for what he sees, but I'm only accountable for what I see. And so until God shows me something different, which I don't think he will, knowing what Brother Branham said right up there to the very end of 1965, I'm accountable for what I see through the message, through the Bible, and through the anointing and leading of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. If I'm wrong, you pray for me that God will open my eyes. If you're wrong, I'll do the same for you. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's worship the Lord together. He's worthy of our worship. Oh my, he's worthy of our worship. There was none in heaven or in earth that was worthy to be worshiped, but there was one that was worthy. Amen. I'm glad to be associated with him. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, just take up your cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed just to say that you know him. Oh, count the cost, then take say that you know him. Okay. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures and the quotes, Lord, that we have a typepost that we can go back to, Lord, when we have a question. Lord, your prophet taught us if there's a scriptural question, there has to be a scriptural answer somewhere. Lord, I don't claim to have all the answers, Lord, but I know where I can point people to for those answers, Lord. And I'm not ashamed, Lord, to point people back and say that in this age we had a prophet come and reveal the word to us. He taught us that we had the perfect interpretation to the word with vindication. I take him at his word, Father, tonight, because he was a vindicated prophet. Lord, he came back to show us what the Bible really said. It was hid over the years through the different generations and the different church ages. The Catholic Church and different Protestant churches would try to water it down and take away a little here and take a little there. But in this last age, there was promised a prophet that would come and tie up the loose ends. I thank you, Lord, for a vindicated prophet in this age. Lord, he didn't come with something outside of the word, but he came and pointed us back to the word and said, this is what the word really said. He came and pointed us back to a scriptural foundation. Oh, Lord, how much confidence I can have in it, Father, Lord, because I can take it right back to the word, Genesis to Revelations, and see what he taught right there, Father. It was there, but it took a prophet to open up our eyes to see it. It was right there that Abraham and Sarah had a body change, but it took a prophet to show it to us. So many things in the scriptures, Father, is right there in front of our eyes, but we needed a restoration. Oh, I thank you, Father, for restoration in this age, for eyes to see and ears to hear what you did for us. Lord, I know maybe there'll be some that don't agree with what was said tonight. Lord, maybe some that'll listen in. Maybe it'll upset them. Maybe they won't like it very much, but I can only do what you lead me to do. I can only say what I can see in the word. Lord, may you just be with me, lead me, and guide me. Lord, I thank you for the revelation that you have given us, Lord. And thank you for your word where we can find a solid place to stand. Lord, just continue to unfold more of yourself to us. Lord, help us not to get satisfied where we're at, but may you continue to unfold and unfold more and more of your word to us. May we continue in the faith that was once given to the saints. Help us, Father, to be steadfast, unmovable, not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. But Lord, may we stand for the word and its simplicity and its pureness. Help us to stand for it with everything that we have, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's sing it again together.
Oh, take up your cross.
Golden shore, oh, what a day, Lord.
the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, there'll be no more sorrows there, no more burdens to bear. There'll be no sickness, no pain.
Every day that I live, Lord, I Wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest.